problem I had when I went to Springfield was because not only did I pastor in Knobnostra, Missouri for 11 years, but I'm originally from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. And so the first time that ever some kind of normal name came along for me to leave to go there, I was a little bit nervous because it wasn't Pogue Toast, Tennessee, or Soddy Daisy, or whatever. But I actually grew up in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, and pastored in Knobnostra, Missouri for 11 years, and the Lord blessed greatly there. And let me say this morning before I get started, I certainly appreciate Brother Ted.
Amen.
And the what you see here is also how they are in their own home. We've been with the Tids for the last 2 weeks, and they are just as hospitable in their home as they are here in this place. And it's been a real blessing to be able to be friends with him and to spend some time here at the church, and it's been a real blessing. What a great... I told him, I said, now we're going to have the meeting next year, and this is like caviar. When you come to Springfield, brother, it's going to be meat and potatoes. But we will have a good time in the Lord. Well, I'm not going to preach anything new this morning. It's been said very well this week. The theme has been spoken of, so maybe in just a little bit different light, I'm going to preach this morning as Peter preached to those that were in trouble, those that were in under great persecution at a time when he wrote this letter. So let's go ahead and stand this morning in 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I'm just going to kind of tag along on what has been said. After Brother Hardy preached on Monday night, I told my wife I wish that I could be the very next preacher, because what the Lord has laid on my heart goes right on top of what he said Monday night. He set the tone. He actually set the tone for the meeting, because we are called to preach the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 12. And here's what Peter writes. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Now let me say that when we come to a preacher's meeting like this, we don't need anything new. We just sometimes need to be reminded that we're doing the things that we should be doing, just as Brother Sam preached last night. Same old, same old. We need to be doing the things that we're doing. If they're in the Word of God and God has set those things for us, then those are the things that we need to be doing. And I like coming to a meeting and be reminded that there's other men that are doing what I'm doing in the place where I'm at, and they believe what I believe, and they're doing the things that they should be doing, and I'm doing those things, and that encourages me. And Peter is talking about the first few verses of the chapter where he says, I don't want you to be negligent of these truths. You need to remember them. You need to get them in your heart. You need to understand that you need to add to your faith. There's some things that needed to be added to their faith, or they were going to forget who they were. And they would become blind and couldn't see afar off and would even forget they'd been purged from their sins. And he said, you need to remember these things. He says in verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." You get the idea here? He's wanting them to remember some things. He says this, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I want to preach, if the Lord will allow me, for the next few minutes on this subject, a more sure prophecy.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you for every message that has been preached. Lord, the church here and their hospitality, and Brother Ted and his wife, their graciousness, we just thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, we do come together for fellowship, and we do come together to hear the preaching of your Word. And we know that preaching with power is what we need in the day and in the hour in which we live. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would just be reminded that we certainly today, in our generation and where we're at, have a more sure prophecy. That we have something that is more powerful than anything else, the Word of God. That this Bible, Lord, is infallible, it is inerrant, it is the precious, preserved, and perfect Word of God. And that we, as men of God, can stand up and preach it boldly and without apology, knowing that it will accomplish exactly what you desire it to accomplish. So I pray that once again we would be reminded of this truth, and that from this place we would go forth back to the harvest field that you put us in, and Lord, we would preach the Word of God, knowing that we have a more sure prophecy. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory and His honor. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, I believe we all need to be reminded of some things. I believe that Peter, as he was writing to these believers who were under great stress and under great adversity and were under great persecution of their time, the world in which they lived in, the Roman world, was very, very anti-Christ. And I say to you, as long as we're in this world, it will become more anti-God. In the States, even where we live, in this great country that we live, it is becoming more secular all the time. It is becoming less spiritual and more secular, and as the world becomes more secular, it becomes more anti-Christ. And as the world becomes more anti-Christ, then we're going to find ourselves in a place where we're going to come against adversity, where there's going to be adversity. And these people that Peter is writing to, the reason that they were in such great persecution and the reason that the adversity was so great upon them was nothing more than because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Because they lived their life and they knew that Christ was their Savior, they knew Christ was their Lord, they knew that Caesar was not God, they knew that the Roman gods that they worshiped were not God. They knew that there was one God and one mediator between God and man, and that the man, Christ Jesus. They understood that, and the Roman government came against them greatly. They were under so much persecution that Peter writes to them here and says, listen, you need to make sure of some things. You need to be reminded of some things that need to be a part of your life. And he talks about how that they were to add to their faith virtue, and that they were to add to virtue knowledge. And in verse number 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And he said, if these things be in you, you will not be unfruitful, you will not be barren, but you will be fruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But then he said this, if you lack these things, if you forget these things, if you don't remember these things, you're going to be blind and cannot see afar off, and you have forgotten. It'll even come to the point where you may forget that you were purged from your old sins. So he knew that it was very important. I'm telling you, the reason that coming to meetings like this is to be reminded of who we are. And that we are not ashamed of who we are. That we are Baptists. That we are independent Baptists. That we're independent fundamental Baptists. That we believe the book, that we have a more sure prophecy, that when we stand up and say that we believe in the authorized King James Version of the Bible, and that you don't have to be ashamed of that, and you shouldn't be ashamed of that. God help us for those who are ashamed of the book, or ashamed of their heritage of a Baptist, or ashamed of the church, or ashamed of the things of God, or ashamed to say that we don't take any other kind of baptism except Bible-believing Baptist baptism. We should not be ashamed of those things. And so when we come, we're reminded that these are the things that we believe. And a remembrance of things is very important in the Christian life. It is important for us to build upon the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope we as men of God never think we've arrived. I hope we never think that we don't need the preaching of God's Word. I hope we never come to the point where we would say, well, I just don't need to go here preaching the Word of God. I just don't need to hear what other people have to say. Oh, I need it very greatly. I'm always challenged by the Word of God. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you were to look at verses 5 through 8, here's what you'd find out. That Peter said, you need to be reminded to build upon your faith, character, and God's Word. You need to understand what it means. You need to have discipline in your life and patience in your life. You need to do that which is pleasing to God. You need to have love one toward another. You need to show kindness one toward another, because of all of these things are necessary for the Christian life. And so he says, listen, if you're going to know these things, you need to be reminded of the biblical principles and the biblical precepts that are accomplished by the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Peter knew this. Peter knew that very shortly he would die. He said that I want you to understand that as long as I am in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Then he said this, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Listen, when somebody is about to die or pass off the scene, you want to hear what they have to say. 2 days before Brother Art Wilson went home to be with the Lord, I sat at his bedside and I was thinking of the last words of Peter and the last words of Paul as Peter wrote these words to these believers under persecution. And I thought of Paul and the words that he wrote to Timothy. Those are very important words for a preacher to read. The things that Paul had to say to that young preacher. And as I sat by the bedside of Brother Wilson, and he would die 2 days later, and he said something to the effect, he had written me a note earlier, and I made mention of it about, he had written me a note, and he had said, I was asking you, brother, I was wanting to know how we met, what occasion it cost us, our paths to cross, and how we met. And then he said this in the note, and I've got it, and I'll keep it forever. He said, then I was reminded of the Lord that the way we met was by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is so Art Wilson, amen? And I remember sitting there, and I mentioned that note, and he said these words. He said, Brother Abels, he said, listen, this is my advice to you. Preach the Word of God. If that don't fire you up, I don't know what will. 2 days before he went into, preach the Word of God. And as I think about that, the truth is, and I think about the church that I pastor, and you can think about the church that you pastor, and when I think about the church I pastor, I think about the great men of God who came through our church and preached the Word of God. Amen. Those men like Brother Wilson and Dr. Victor Sears and Brother Gray, our pastor for over 30 years, and men who have preached in our church in the last few years, and those that have died and gone on to be with the Lord, and those that are preaching today, you know what they do when they come to our church? And do you know what happens when I stand up week after week, month after month, year after year? Do you know what you do when you stand up and preach the Word of God week after week, month after month, year after year? What you do is you put them in remembrance of the things which they need to know, the things that are so important. Yes, they need to know that God's Word still changes lives. This Word of God changed my life. This Word of God changed your life. And you know what we need to get a hold of this morning? It is not our abilities. It's not about our talents. It's not about who we are. It's about the God that we serve. And it's about the Bible that we preach. Because I want you to know something. We have a more sure prophecy this morning. There's the power right here. I don't have it. Right here is the power. And we think about those men who preach the Word of God, standing true and being a witness of the things that God would have people to know and to understand. You know what the apostles were? They were preachers. Paul was a preacher. He said in our text, he said, I came not to you with enticing words. He didn't come to you with fancy words. No, he came in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And let me just remind you, men, today, we're still building upon that foundation that was laid. The apostles and preachers of today, we're not the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone that binds the building together. And the church is built upon Christ. And you know what we're to do? Just to continue upon that foundation. Now get a hold of this. And I know this is deep because I'm real deep. Men die, but the Word of God lives forever. One of the major themes of the book of 2 Peter is the foundational truth of God's Word versus apostasy. In fact, there's a whole message to be preached about the apostasy that Peter talked about that would come upon the church and how that men would come. And you know what apostasy is? Apostasy is to take something to know something that was true and then to reject it as truth. To know something that was true, but then to literally reject it as the truth of God's Word. I think probably in our day, one of the greatest examples of that is evolution. I went to the Creation Museum not far from here on Monday. And several people asked my wife, said, isn't this good? Isn't this good? And I read everything, went through it, and went through it in about 3 hours. And I'm not being ugly. It is good. I think everybody should go. But you know what my reaction is this? Well, I've been preaching this stuff for 20 years. That was my reaction. Everything I read, I said, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what I've been preaching. That's what we should be preaching. We should be preaching the Word of God. But did you know that our country, our nation, 100 years ago, they did not believe in evolution. Amen. They understood that the Bible was true, that this was the foundational truth, and that when the Bible said, God said, let there be light, that's exactly how it took place. and that everything that God said would take place. Evolution is nothing but a fable. It is something, is nothing more than a manufactured story that has no basis. Or it's called, by the way, it's called a theory of evolution. That's all it is, because there's no truth in it. And you know what happens today and what happened in Peter's day? This is this. Many people believed, and the thought of today is Christianity is nothing but a hoax. That's what people believe. They believe the Bible is a hoax. They believe that the Bible is a hoax. Peter said this. Look what he said. He said in verse number 16, he said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." One of the thoughts of today is that Christianity is nothing more than a fable or a hoax. Peter said, "We did not believe in fables. We did not teach you fables. Listen, we were eyewitnesses of these very truths that we're talking about." A fable is a manufactured story that has no basis in fact. Did you know that our nation is becoming a nation of fables? I was in Wichita, Kansas about 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, and I had supper with a pastor there, Brother Con Howardson. Some of you may know him. And he said, "Brother, there's a church in our city that has got a teaching, and they've got a billboard," and he showed me where it was, and here's what it's called: The Gospel According to the Beatles. There is a church in Wichita, Kansas, that is teaching the gospel according to the Beatles. You understand? That's fables. We have one of the largest, quote, churches in our community. It's not a Baptist church, this particular one, but one of the largest Sunday school classes that they have is the Mayberry class. And what they do is they watch the Andy Griffith Show for 30 minutes, and then for 15 minutes give a spiritual application. That's where Paul said to young Timothy, "In the last days they shall be turned into fables." And there are people who are sitting and watching Andy Griffith instead of getting a more sure word of prophecy from the preaching of God's Word. And I'm telling you, our nation is going into a land that believes in fables, a gospel according to the Beatles. And the Mayberry Club. I wonder what they do with Andy's cigarette or Barney's bullet. You ever thought about that? You see, they use stories and myths as a mere human speculation to try to explain the world and its origin. And when Peter wrote this, he was talking to a nation who believed in the Greek and the Roman gods and the mythology. And they used these wild stories that I learned about this in the seventh grade. But they believed these as facts, and there's no basis in fact. They're manufactured stories. They're human speculation. But I want to remind you something this morning, my friend. We don't have fables. We have a more sure prophecy. We have something that is sure and steadfast and real. We have something that we can hang our hat on, if you would. We have something that we can stand up every week and we can declare as the Word of God, and it will do its work. It will accomplish its purpose. I don't know why anybody would want to have the Andy Griffith Club when they got the book of the Revelation. And Peter makes a statement. He says this: "We have not followed cunningly devised fables." And he says "we" because he talks about the other apostles who were also eyewitnesses to the fact of the greatness and the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now let me just talk about this for just a minute if I could. He talks about being an eyewitness of His majesty, and then he talks about in verse 17 where he says, "For He received from the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, we could go back to Matthew chapter number 3 and see that. And then he says in verse number 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." And then you can look at that and find that in Matthew chapter 17. And you have these two great events that were certainly inspirational in the life of Peter, in so much that the Holy Spirit of God said, "Write these things down as illustrations of what you saw and what you heard." But let me remind you at the same time, Peter saw a lot more than that. I'm telling you, Peter was there in Matthew chapter number 8 when Jesus Christ healed the leper. He was there when the centurion's servant was healed. He was there when the waves were stilled as they were in the ship. And they said, "Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish?" And Jesus woke up and calmed the storm. And they said, "Even the wind obey Him." He was there when He cast out the demons. He was there in Matthew chapter 9 when He made the two blind men to be able to see. He was there when the woman with the issue of blood touched the garment of Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, I perceive that virtue has gone out from me. Who was this? And Peter was the one who spoke. The Lord, man, there's all kinds of people around. How do we expect to know who it was? And then this lady said, it was me, Lord. And he said, thy faith has made thee whole. He was there. Peter was there when Jesus Christ raised the maid from the dead. He was there when all of these things took place from Matthew chapter 3, and then Matthew chapter 8, and then Matthew chapter 9. And then in Matthew chapter 10, something happened. Jesus said, now you've been watching all of this. You've seen me make the blind to see. You've seen me make the lame to walk and the dead to raise up. He said, now I'm going to give you this power. He said, I want you to take this power, and I want you to go into the lost house of Israel. Look over there in Matthew chapter 10, just so we can kind of get an idea, because you can go back and read these things that I spoke about are found in Matthew chapter 3 that he speaks about here in Peter, Matthew 17. But then in Matthew chapter 10, he calls his disciples, and we call this the limited commission, because this is not the great commission. This was the limited commission, and he said this. He said, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? What did he give them? Come on now. He gave them power, the same power that he had. He gave them this power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the name of the 12 apostles are these. The first, who is it? Simon, who is called Peter. Verse number 5, he tells these 12, commands them, go not the way of the Gentiles and the way of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you have this power, and as you cast out these spirits, and as you heal all manner of diseases, then I want you to preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what they were to do. And what they were doing was, God gave them this power, just like he gave it to Moses back in the Old Testament. When Moses came on the scene, Moses said, well, God, how will they know that I'm from you? And he said, well, I tell you what you do. He said, see that rod you have in your hand? Throw it down on the ground. He threw it down on the ground, and you know that it became a serpent, and he said, pick it up. Now, that's where faith comes in. He picked it up, and it became the rod of God. Here's the first healing in the Bible that I can find. He said, put your hand in your bosom. He pulls it out, and it was leper, white as snow. He said, put it back in. He put it back in. He was healed. He goes down to Egypt, and they says, my name is Moses, and I've come to deliver you. And they're like, yeah, right. How do we know that you're really from God? And so he shows them the miracles. You know what he knew? He knew this. He knew that the Jews, as in that text there says, that the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so he said to these men, now listen, what I'm going to give you this power for is, this power is going to be to authenticate that you are of God, just like he gave it to Moses. He had been doing all these miracles. Why did Jesus do all those miracles? To show that he was the Son of God. He to show who he was. And every time that he would do a miracle, he would preach the kingdom of God is at hand. He would preach this, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Every time you see a healing, every time you see tongues spoken, every time you see devils cast out, it is always to preach the Word of God to show that that man is authenticated by God to preach. And you know what Jesus did in Matthew 10 after he had done all these miracles? He gave it to the disciples. Amen. And he said, now you go out there and preach the gospel. Now here's the point. Peter saw all of the miracles. Peter saw all of the what Jesus Christ did. He saw all of the miracles that he did. He saw him preach. He heard him preach. He saw that he had this ability, that God had given him this power, this authority to carry out this. But let me just remind you what Peter said in the very end. He said, I've seen the lame, the walk. I have been able to experience it myself. But there's something greater.
Amen.
You get this? There is something greater than me having the ability to make the, like Jesus did, to make the lame, to cast out devils, to do this. He said this. He said, oh yes, I've seen the miracles. We heard the voice of God speak from heaven. We were there at the baptism of Jesus Christ. We were there on the Holy Mount when he was transfigured, and I stuck my foot in my mouth and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Can we build some tabernacles? He said, I was there when he gave us the power. And by the way, he said, I was there when he commissioned the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was there when he made the lame to walk. I was there when he caused the blind to see. I was there when he raised the dead. He even gave us this power. But this is what he said, folks. He said, we have something more sure than that.
Amen.
You understand where we're at today? We have in our possession as preachers of the Word of God something more powerful. Because there'd be people that go, well, I wish I could. Boy, if I could do a miracle like that, they'd believe. No, they wouldn't. Because Peter was also there when Jesus told the story of the rich man who died and went to hell. And here's what he said as the rich man was conversing with Abraham. He said, Abraham, go back to my five brethren, raise somebody from the dead, and go back and tell my five brethren that they might not come into this place. And you know what the Bible says? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe if one rose from the dead and came and preached to them. I'm saying to you this morning, we don't need miracles. We don't need healings. We don't need speaking in tongues. We don't need any of that. We have the Word of God, which is a more sure prophecy. We have God's Word. We don't need all of that stuff today. What we need is to stand up and preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And it is amazing what God's Word can do. It's not man's Word. It's God's Word. It's been written down and preserved so that we can know God and how to raise our family and how people can be saved. The inspiration of the Bible is a supernatural miracle, and it is better than even other miracles and any eyewitness that could be placed upon us. I believe Peter. Peter said, I was an eyewitness. Here's how he did it. He said, holy men of God, humans, were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, meaning it's divine authorship. I want you to know something this morning. We have the inspired Word of God. Inspiration just refers to the way God gave us His revelation. He says in 2 Timothy 3:16, when He uses the inspiration of God, you know this, it literally means it was breathed by God. You see, my friend, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon the human writers of the Bible in such a way that they recorded the very words of God and the very sense of God, but yet He let God use them and who they were. I'm going to tell you something. He allowed them to use their own literary style, but it is still the Word of God. Every preacher that has preached this week is different a little bit. Their style is different a little bit. Their personality is a little bit different. It doesn't matter because we're preaching the Word of God. We have a more sure prophecy. We're not preaching our personality. Doesn't matter who our person is. God will use us who we are, even if we're a redneck from Georgia or a redneck from Tennessee. Amen. Now I want you to know this, brother. I'm half redneck and half hillbilly. So try to figure that out. And it's been brought out this week that God uses the base things of the world. We're just a bunch of nobodies preaching the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Why would anybody want to try to... Why would you want to improve upon this? How much of the Bible is inspired? Well, how about all of it?
Amen.
How about where the Bible says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This book is infallible. You know what that means? It's without error. It means what it says, and it says what it means. It's without error. It is without change. It is without failure. It is without equal. It is a priceless book. And Peter said, man, I'm going to tell you something. We were eyewitnesses of all the things that Jesus Christ did. We were there. We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. In fact, you know what he says over in 1 Peter? He said, we handled the Word of God. We were there. We were there when Jesus showed up on the scene there in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter, always the spokesman, jumped up and said, some people say you're Jeremiah and some people say you're Elias. Some people say this. And he said, well, whom do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I want you to know something, men. I'm glad that when I stand in the pulpit week after week, month after month, year after year, I don't have to be concerned about the message. All I have to be is concerned about is preaching. Because Peter told me this. I have a more sure prophecy. I have something better than eyewitnesses and miracles. I have something better and more precious than anything else. All I have to do is just deliver the Word of God. It amazes me, any preacher that would have the gumption to say, well, I just don't know what to preach. Man, I just want to preach it all.
Amen.
Need to preach the book. It's already been said very clearly this week, and I'm not saying anything new, but let me just remind you that this book is what convicts. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, when I first started going to church, and the preacher stand up and was preaching from the Bible, I literally thought, he's been talking to my wife. He's been reading my mail. You see, folks, you don't have to make it up. You just preach it. And they'll be sitting out there going, well, how do he know this? I don't know it. God knows it. It is the Word of God that convicts. It's not Jeff Abels that convicts. If I was to be convicted, it wouldn't last long. But when the Word of God convicts, it goes all the way to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I don't know what your motives are. You don't know my motives. But I'll guarantee you God knows your motives. And if the Word of God is preached and the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God, you know, people say sometimes, well, how's it going at your church? Here's what I really say. I'm just trying to stay out of God's way. And every one of us need to stay out of God's way. Need to get up and preach the Word of God and then stay out of God's way and let Him work. Look what Peter had said over in 1 Peter chapter 1 in the first book he had written about 6 years earlier. He said this about the Bible in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 23. He said, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know what Peter said? Oh, listen, it'll convict you, but it'll also convert you. Paul said it like this. He said it'll correct you. Here's what he said. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everybody knows that. But look what it says in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Boy, you can preach like right there for a long time. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you know why we're here this morning? Because we have a more sure prophecy. You can look at every church across America, and I use that word loosely. You can look at every people that call themselves a church, but let me just tell you this. When they lay the Bible aside for other things, they're headed, it's gone. It's over. You can just write it down. You can just write it down, brother. Now listen, I just want you to know this. I'll fellowship with you as long as you use the authorized King James Version of the Bible. Because it is the inerrant, infallible, inspired, preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. Did anybody have any trouble hearing what I said about that? And I don't apologize for that. In the city I live, everybody wants to apologize for it. We don't apologize for it. We preach it every week. And the reason that we're here this morning is because of the foundation of the truth of this Bible. We don't need to preach our opinions, as Pastor Hardy said on Monday night. We don't need to preach our opinions. I've got an opinion on about everything. You ask me and I'll tell you what it is. Right, Brother Ted? Amen. But when it comes to preaching, I better stick with the book. Because we do not base what we're doing on myths or fables. We base it on the facts based upon the Word of God. Facts that were eyewitnessed by men like Peter and John and Paul and others who saw and heard the things which Christ did. However, more than any eyewitness, we have a more sure prophecy. The Word of God. This Bible transformed my life, by the way. I remember before I was saved, and I would never want to glorify sin, but I remember being involved in things that I didn't think I could ever get out of. I thought I was entrapped in it. I thought that life just had a hold of me of drugs and alcohol and things such as that. And you just, when you're in the middle of it and sin is abounding upon your life, and you literally think there is no way out. You can't get out. There's no way out. And then I got saved. And then I found out that everything is different now. Now, some man didn't do that. Some philosophy didn't do that. There was no 12-step program that did that. It was the Word of God. And you know why? When God called me to preach the Word of God, that's when I realized that's what I need to preach. Because we have a more sure prophecy. And you can say this morning, lives that have been ruined by sin have been made whole again by this sure word of prophecy. I want you to understand, families have been put together because of this Bible. Lives have been changed. Men have been saved. People are on the mission field because of this Bible. People are in Sri Lanka and going to Sri Lanka because of this Bible. People are doing the work of God and preaching the Word of God because of this Bible. And you too can be changed if you come to Christ. Men, we just need to be reminded of something. And I believe we've been reminded of it in several different ways this week. And that's this. We have a more sure prophecy.